This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
So the Bears began their voluntary offseason workout regimen on April 15th on Monday, tax day. They reported to work. They probably didn't worry about that stuff the way we did. But it fascinates me still, and I know this is going to be like I'm a broken record this offseason. It still kind of amuses me. I'm not sure what the right verb is, Dan, but right now, Tyson Bagent is the Bears' starting quarterback. So when they call the starting offense into the room to watch tape or whatever they're doing, or the organized team activities or their offseason regimen, Tyson Bagent is QB1. I don't know how I feel about that, but I have to get on board because I don't think the Bears are going to add a veteran unless somebody comes available during camp. But I don't think they're going to go into a camp with a veteran. It's going to be Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent, and Brett Rypien.
Well, listen, we're a month plus away from the team being allowed to go out on the field and start doing actual practicing. So the QB1 designation doesn't mean anything at this point. And so by the time that the Bears have an actual practice, the guy who is going to be QB1 is the guy we've been talking about for months, Caleb Williams. He's going to slide Tyson aside and say, "Nice to meet you. I'm Caleb. Can you carry my backpack and my and my notepad to the next
my dress?"
You're really stuck on this, aren't you?
Oh, I mean, the dress. He said he's going to wear a dress. A Bears quarterback in a dress. That sounds very Rodman-esque. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see if this happens. I'm very intrigued.
But so there's that part of it. And this is one of those years where the start of the offseason program didn't really have much ripple effect to it because there's not any major contractual gripes going on. There's not any quarterback drama going on at the present moment. And so the Bears are just going to go and lift weights and meet together as a team and start to get swole for the start of OTAs next month.
Let's bring the starting offense into the room. Let's get it started. Okay, Tyson. It matters. He can tell his kids that for like 4 weeks of glory, he was this QB1.
He already did that last year.
I know that's true.
4 weeks as QB1.
That's true.
He's done this and he handled himself quite well.
2-2. I know. I remember.
Again, like I'm disappointed that we haven't had more time this offseason to really dive deeper in on the Tyson Bagent story, because that's one that we really need to spend some time on before it's all said and done.
We kind of talked over, but there's no doubt. And I just want to make sure, because some teams have screwed this up, and certainly the Bears have screwed this up before. The minute Caleb Williams is drafted and the card is in, he's a starting quarterback, right? They're giving, Caleb, here's your locker, here's your jersey, here are the keys to the organization. Go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think there's any
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any sort of gray area here at all that they're gonna say, "Oh, wait, you know, if there was, it would be some long in the tooth established veteran coming here to build the bridge." But I think this, I don't think they need a bridge in this case. And it's Caleb Williams' show from the minute that he hugs Roger Goodell next week. One other thing on Caleb Williams here, while we've got a second in the conversation, Charles Robinson at Yahoo, is overseeing their annual All Juice team. Now, that All Juice team started with the late Perez Taylor putting forth a list of guys every year that met the, you know me, I'm a juice guy, that met the qualifications for bringing something a little extra. It wasn't always just, you know, top 10 picks. It wasn't always just early day two guys and above. It was a whole list of guys in the draft that where it was like, these are guys that are going to be something in the league because I like them. Well, since Charles Robinson has taken it over for his late friend. He had the latest addition for the 2024 All-Juice team from the draft class, and the quarterback of that team is none other than Caleb Williams. And it's not just solely based on his ability to play. It's based on the entire package that he brings to the table. And so on a podcast on Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson explained some of the conversations he had with people around the league that helped them get that conclusion rubber stamped and put an exclamation point behind it. Here's some of what Charles Robinson had to say on that topic.
The stuff that we're, you know, whatever problems people have with them right now, you know, they're nitpicking a lot of different things. And an evaluator said to me, like, we've literally been staring at this kid since his true freshman season at Oklahoma. He's like it's, there's nobody you stare at, particularly at the quarterback position, who plays it at a super high level, by the way, as a true freshman. And after 3 years, you just get, he's like, he almost said sick. He stopped himself where he said, you know, you just get sick at looking at guys. But that was sort of the insinuation. And so I will say the one thing I really enjoyed, someone when you're looking for comps for Caleb, and you hear a lot of the Rodgers comps now. And one guy said to me, though, he was like, I think he's sort of a hybrid between Favre and Rodgers. He's like, because he's got a lot of the athletic traits of Rodgers and the arm and these different things. He said, but the one thing that he has with Favre, he doesn't like to let a play die. Like, he will do, and he said, that's a good thing. And sometimes it's a bad thing. He's like, just like with Favre, it was a good thing, but sometimes it was a really, really bad thing because he would do dumb things or try to do wild stuff. And he says, you know, you kind of see that in Caleb's game. That was a comp that I had not heard until we did this team, the hybrid of those two players that I actually really like.
Yeah, that's a good comp. And yeah, I see why people go to Mahomes when you watch him play, because like the off schedule stuff, and he does make some crazy throws. You know, maybe I still kind of like, should we be calling anyone Mahomes? Because he's like,
right, yeah,
he's Mahomes. But yeah. But Caleb, I think, you know, as far as like any quarterback in the draft that has like a real chance to hit superstar level, just based on the traits, and he's going to be going to a good situation too with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. They've got a top 10 pick on offensive line from last year. Last year's all juice tackle, Darnell Wright. So it's a good situation. I'm excited for him. He's not going to as terrible a situation as last year's all juice team quarterback, Carolina. This team has kind of done the opposite, where one team traded up for the quarterback. The other team kind of had it fall into their laps. And now Caleb gets to go play on a talented team and hopefully, you know, live out his, you know, his best version of himself in the NFL, because I think that can be a pretty exciting player.
David, if you're into theater, how juicy would the theater be for the Chicago Bears to enact 30 years worth of revenge on the Green Bay Packers with a quarterback that is being compared to a hybrid between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre?
You gotta love those comparisons.
I mean, like, yeah. If that comes to fruition and you're able to sort of punch back for the first time since the late 80s with a guy that can do all the things that those guys up there were doing to you forever, it would just be unbelievable theater.
Well, it'd be unbelievable theater. It'd be tremendous. It's every Bears fan's fantasy. But I also think that in the here and now, it suggests that the way he's being described, he will immediately be better than Jordan Love. Or it could be. And think about that, because Jordan Love finished the year, last 8 weeks of the season, he was as good as any quarterback in the NFC. And if Caleb Williams is as good as he was just described by an outside impartial observer who talks to people and he's plugged into the league, this is what we're talking about, people. This is why this was a no-brainer all along. This is what you're about to get. And, yeah, a lot of ground to cover, but I think it tells you that there's no suspense. There's no suspense. It's just a matter of the Bears getting to draft night and handing in the card.
No question about it. Those were the voices of Charles Robinson and Charles McDonald that you heard in that clip there. And I believe I misspoke earlier. It was Therese Paylor that started the All Juice team. I made that little slip of...
That's okay. It's a hard name to say. Yeah. And he did a great job in creating that and certainly left a legacy. It's just a tremendous thing to talk about every year. Dan, just to underscore what we're talking about, Caleb Williams, the consensus number one, as we've been referring to all along. Mike Lombardi, who's friend of the program, controversial guy, tweeted this out on Tuesday afternoon. Outside of Caleb Williams at number one, QB rankings are completely different from team to team. This is especially true for polarizing prospects like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. Everything is on the table for round one. It's nice not to be worrying about what way things could go. Although it affects the Bears at number nine, certainly not as high as the stakes are at number one. So that just tells you a lot of things could happen, a lot of twists and turns, a lot of drama, but not with the Bears with the top pick.
Short little tease for something that I've got coming possibly this weekend in Chicago Tribune print edition, and we're still waiting to figure out our online launch date. But just a little bit of a look into what the Bears are getting in Caleb Williams and how Ryan Poles, a general manager who's been front and center in this vetting process, has processed the getting to know you part of this equation with Caleb Williams and the things that he hopes to put in place to elevate this young man to levels that quarterbacks in Bears history have never elevated to. We'll see which direction it goes.
Look forward to that. A couple little tidbits I want to ask you about real quick. Cody Whitehair signs a one-year, $3 million contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. Luke Getsy's the offensive coordinator. Didn't he bench him in Chicago?
Well, Matt Eberflus benched him, but they, it was just kind of a combination of just trying to find the right group up front. Cody Whitehair still got a little game in him. He can give you that veteran experience, that life that you want up front, and he can be versatile. That's something that all teams are going to sign up for, right? Is that versatility to be able to make your life easier when you start to have injuries across the offensive line, which Cody showed numerous times throughout his career. He could step in anywhere needed in a pinch.
And since I seem to be a little bit preoccupied with what's going to be on the back of Caleb Williams on draft night, what's going to be on the back of his shoulder pads every Sunday, what number is he going to wear? Did I see something somewhere where Keenan Allen will now wear 15 with the Bears? Did I see that, Studs?
I have not seen that yet. I don't know what number it's going to be. Certainly, you would like to know that by probably next Friday morning, because if you're the Bears and you are going to market the hell out of this thing like you're supposed to market the hell out of this thing, you want those jerseys flying off of the shelf and flying out of the Bears online shop the minute that pick is announced.
Studs tells me that I'm glad I didn't retweet it. I'm glad I didn't see it, but there was a fake account making the rounds with bad info about jersey numbers. That's why I asked it as a rhetorical question, because how in the world could you make that change if you're Keenan Allen? You've worn 13 all your career. I hope that he keeps it, and I hope that Caleb Williams wears number 18.
Caleb Williams likes to buck trends. Caleb Williams may decline to wear a number at all and just put the S on his chest, right? And we'll just have the Superman S and away we go.
What about agent zero? What about number zero?
Possibility.